This Sunday's Ask the Mayor for February 6th is recorded on Thursday, and just coming back from the Four Chaplains event, our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor. You got me last year on that. It really touched my heart about what those four chaplains did.
It's an event that the American Legion Post 370 puts on every year. This year we had a lot of rain and we were able to get under the awning of the playhouse to a small gathering of dedicated folks. It really is needed, that sense of sacrifice and service that these four chaplains demonstrated in the Second World War, and also do a town proclamation declaring February 3rd as Four Chaplains Memorial Day. There were four Army chaplains on the U.S. Dorchester in the Second World War. There were 900 soldiers on that ship on their way to Europe when a German U-boat sent a torpedo to the Dorchester and sunk it. Soldiers that had been killed, wounded, and there were four Army chaplains from different faiths. George Fox, who was a Methodist minister, Alexander Good, who was a rabbi, John Washington, who was a Dutch Reform minister, and then there was Clark V. Poling, who was a Roman Catholic priest. And as the ship started to go down, they realized that some of the sailors and servicemen didn't have life vests, but they were wearing life vests. They took off their life vest and gave it to soldiers that did not have a life vest. And then they stood together, arm in arm, praying as that ship went down. And they were given the Purple Heart. President Eisenhower designated a special medal and day for them back in the 1950s. And I think it's appropriate that we be mindful of those sacrifices and service to other people that those four chaplains embodied. The deployment of the 82nd Airborne to Europe now with the crisis with Russia and Ukraine. I think we need to keep in mind that it's not just units like the 82nd Airborne. Those are people, human beings. They're our fellow countrymen, and we need to be mindful of what they're going through.
My blessings and prayers for everyone there. February 1st, Tuesday, that was that special meeting to go over what the planning board had talked about with the town board, and then there was a little change of direction.
We had to change the location to the recreation center next to the pool. The YouTube video option that we do now with our town board meetings were not available for us at the rec center. We just don't have the big TV screens there. Before the meeting, I was talking to our town manager, and we were looking at the meeting room and said, in next year's budget, we need to appropriate money to make sure that our recreation center also has that video capability that we have at the community center. So had a turnout of about 40 people, I believe, or so, that wanted to hear the discussion at the meeting. And it was a rollout of what the planning board had recommended. One of our attorneys, Craig Justice, advised us that instead of the town board members editing and taking action initially after receiving that recommendation from the planning board, we needed to have a public hearing. The board at this meeting voted to have a public hearing concerning the recommendations on changing the UDO related to short-term rentals on February the 24th at 5 o'clock at the community center. We will be getting out the words about the details of that meeting. I anticipate the meeting to be very long, and we will be there to listen to the public response to those recommendations from the planning board. I'm looking at other options, like the possibility that some people might want to submit written comments. And one of the things I'm going to try to set is we want people to respond to the specifics of those recommendations from the planning board. We distributed the copies of the recommendations. We sent it to the Sunshine List, and then we want the public to look at them and give their response to any specific recommendation or the recommendations overall. If you're not on the Sunshine List, I encourage you to do so. It's a simple way of doing it. You call in to the town hall at 526-2118, ask to speak with our town clerk, Gibby Shaheen. She will take your email address down after you request to be put on the Sunshine List. Every time we send out something like those recommendations, you'll get a copy electronically at your home computer.
I was pleased to see that hours now have been extended for the pool. We've hired Jordan Powell, full-time lifeguard, and we want to congratulate one of the swimmers, Phineas Garner.
Phineas is on the Highlands High School swim team, and he will be competing in the state final competitions. And Phineas, a swimmer with the Highlands Hurricanes, he came from that wonderful program that Steve Hott and all the parents have operated for so many years now. I wish Phineas all the luck in the world. He's a great athlete, and I'm sure he'll do well.
And congratulations to Jordan Powell, our full-time lifeguard.
Yes,
and
indeed.
No problems with staffing there, but we are having staffing problems. Was trying to fill some positions.
We've had staffing problems there, and I'm so glad that Jordan has joined us. But yes, we have that challenge like any business in Highlands or in the country now. The town of Highlands is facing some of the same issues. For example, we pay even our part-time workers now $15 an hour. We are still challenged by finding enough staffing in areas like the pool or operating the ice skating rink. We have to have certified licensed operators for our water department, our sewer department, anybody that's on a road crew that has to operate trucks and equipment in the electrical department. Everybody has to have the CDL driver's license, which is a very valuable certification to have now.
So what has happened to the ice skating rink compressor? Obviously, after 5 years, we need a new one.
One of the four compressors is in a situation where it's going to have to be replaced. At the end of the ice skating season, a company will come in, replace the compressor, and also we have a few little leaks in the system, and they'll do a pressure test and make sure that everything is sealed and operating so we can set it up and go full blast next season.
You're expecting a lengthy town retreat coming up on March 10th, and you know all the list of things that you might be going through, but at least one is the solar power policy.
About it, it's very complicated, as I wrote in the newspaper this week. When someone installs solar panels, they need to be in such a way that the county inspects it. We need to make sure it's safe to interface with our electric grid. And then there's an issue of metering. I don't want us to impede that, but I want to make sure that we have a very consistent, workable policy.
The fire department putting the finishing touches on the roof.
About 10 years ago, I put a metal roof on my house, and when I say I put it on, and I had all those safety harnesses and everything, hoping I would not fall off the roof, which I didn't. But I saw those workers finishing up the last panels on that roof near the barracks of the new fire department, and they too were wearing those safety harnesses to get that roof up. But that's a very important milestone in that construction process, because I think they'll be able to move very quickly once everything is dried in to do the interior finishing.
And explain the altitudes change to hot wire and getting the membership changed over.
Sally and I are customers of Altitude. Hot wire sent to all the customers an email this past month saying that after February, you'd need to contact them, and they gave the contact information. Verify that you want to be transitioned over to hot wire. With that said, I was informed by Sally yesterday that we'd been sent a text message to reminding us to make sure that we contact hot wire. The town staff will not be involved in this, but I want to get the word out to all the Altitude customers that needs to be attended to.
I must say, I'm enjoying your AskMayorPat.com website with the insights of what's going on, and you're sharing a lot of information. How is it going?
It's going very well, and more people are asking to be a part of that in the e-blast that I send out. But I want to emphasize something, Steve. That is not the official town website. Any kind of official announcement or document that you want to access, that's on the town website. This is my mayor's website that I privately operate, trying to communicate with people. I'm enjoying doing that because I can get information out to people concerning, for example, the snowstorm or the change of the meetings. Then I try to keep up on that as much as possible. And then we get questions from individual people. And do I have time to share one of the questions? And I responded individually to the person.
Please.
The possibility of reviving the power plant that we used to operate from the Lake Sequoia. We will not be able to generate power from Lake Sequoia and revive the old Highlands power plant that was built in 1929. it would be cost prohibited, about $4 or $5 million to do that, and it would only generate 1 megawatt of power. We use about 12 or more megawatts a day to keep our network charged. So about 8 years ago, when we were again looking at this, I talked with Mike Wilkins, who was then the ranger for this district, the U.S. Forest Service ranger. He announced to me, says, you know, the town of Howlands had a special use permit in 1929 to operate this power plant. And I said, well, we'd wondered if we had title to this building or what was the status, but we never could find anything. And he said, well, I found your special use permit in our files. And he said, it called for you to operate that plant, and as long as you operated it, the special use permit was in force. But once you stopped, 2 years after ceasing operations, that special use permit was null and void, and the building and everything would become the property of the U.S. Forest Service. Well, we stopped operating in 1965. So Mike very nicely said, this is our building and this is our property now because you failed to meet the conditions of the special use permit. But those days are gone and they're not coming back.
Yeah, I think when people see a lot of the rushing water, they think this would generate a lot of power. Like over the weekend, we had a flash flood watch. How are the floodplains doing here and where are the areas that collects?
We will be looking at our stormwater plan again at our town retreat to see if there are any kind of improvements and initiatives that we can do. A few years ago, we changed some culvert and things on different streets. We got a grant to do that, so we'll revisit that. When you start getting those heavy rains, and you know, Highlands gets about anywhere from 97 and now over 100 inches a year, if it comes fast, it's hard to manage where it goes.